Hey, here's a few verses right here from the book of Acts. Okay, from the book of Acts, the apostle said here in Acts chapter 6, if you want to make a note on this, at Acts chapter 6, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. As the apostles continually faced new challenges, and as the church began to expand and increase, the apostle saw it was necessary at this point to focus on prayer. And this has to do with the building of the government of God, okay, and also sharing those revelations and ministry of the word. In Acts chapter 7, we see this, Acts 7, 48 and 49. Howbeit the Most High dwells not in temples made with hands, says the prophet. And now we'll be talking more about that today. And regarding the new covenant tokens in comparison to the old covenant tokens. Howbeit the Most High dwells not in temples, that's earthly things, made with hands. But he says here, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. The spirit saying right here has to do with the mating of the witness and the record. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. So we see the witness and the record coming together and to provide this pattern for our faith today. And then he goes on, what house will you build me, saith the Lord? Which has to do with the construction, the tokens which we construct God's house with are no longer earthy. But Jesus is the mediator of the better and new covenant, which has to do with that though we're in the bodies of flesh, yet the tokens we build with are those which in heaven. As he says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Okay, the footstool has to do with the tokens of flesh. Okay, the tokens of flesh will be crushed, okay, in order to provide a tokens that are ascending as Jesus ascended to heaven, okay, which is the greater. This is the house we are building for the Lord. And yes, he says here, what house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? And we can see the place of our rest is in the tokens, okay, which has to do with those things which Jesus sanctified. All right, let's read something on the Testament of Levi here. Okay, chapter 1, 17 and 18. He says, the lowest of the heavens, which we are in now, the lowest of the heavens is for this cause gloomy unto you, and that it beholds all the unrighteous deeds of men. Okay, the word gloomy also has to do with that form of oppression. Okay, the form of oppression which exists in this dimension is because of the tethering of Satan and the conscience of the wicked. Okay, the tethering of Satan and the conscience of the wicked creates the oppressions that are in this dimension. And this is what the Spirit's revealing here to Levi. The lowest of the heavens, which we're in today, is for this cause gloomy. But we know that when the times of the cleansing takes place, when Satan is cast out of the first heaven, that the gloominess then turns to joy, because it's only preparing the way for Jesus to return. And that is to establish the millennial reign. And it has fire, snow, and ice made ready for the day of judgment. And that has to do with the smiting of the world, the earth, okay, with these plagues in order to put all Adamites in mind of their creator. And it has fire. We're witnesses of that. Just read the news about these enormous fires, whether it be in Australia or in California, as an example. Okay, and it has fire and snow and ice. Which has to do with hail. The rhythm of nature is out of sorts. Okay. In other words, nature itself is not in rhythm with that which is the first design. This is a repeat of history. Now that took place in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, or the rhythm of heaven or that which is of weather began to change. And the changing of it and was manifested in earthquakes and fire, snow, ice, the enormity of it. And the challenges that it presented. And this was in the day of the watchers. That's the fallen watchers. Imagine that the fallen watchers had to get out and start shoveling snow. And that would probably be over 10 feet deep. And then as fire, snow, and ice made ready for the day of judgment. See, in the righteous judgment of God. So God smites the earth with these plagues so that Adamites would turn to God and not labor with false knowledge. Now, Satan is the author of false knowledge, as we see in the Garden of Eden. Satan misrepresents God. And Satan, because he misrepresents God, causes Adamites to mold their expectations based upon iniquity and not based upon righteousness, truth, and holiness. Okay, and for this cause, because they choose the evil over the good, God smites the earth. Now, Satan knows that. Satan knows that he doesn't have to put his hand against the Edomites to kill them, because God will do that. Okay, God smites the Edomites for the decisions of not serving him with war, famine, and pestilence. So it has fire, snow, and ice made ready for the day of judgment and the righteous judgment of God. Now, he calls it the righteous judgment of God is because the standard of God is not met. Faith meets the standard of God, and that's righteousness. In the righteous judgment of God, for in it are all the spirits of retribution, retributions for the vengeance of men, for the vengeance on men. Okay, in other words, these tools of judgment are kept in hand for God to strike and to and suppress man's pride. And we can see that today, the judgments that God uses to suppress man's pride. Let's read one more before the bell rings here in this Testament of Levi. If we'll make a note on this now. And that says Testament of Levi, chapter 1. And in the highest, as he's bringing out here, the bloodless offerings, and the highest of all dwells the great glory. Now we'll be talking about the great glory here. And in the highest of all dwells the great glory, far above all holiness. That is the tokens which he provides for us, far above all holiness. These are the tokens which our Father has provided for us in the person of Jesus Christ for the purpose of these are gifts of our adoption, gifts of our adoption here. Now, in the heaven, which is a rabot, in the heaven next to this, next to it, are the archangels who minister and make propitiation to the Lord for all the sins of ignorance of the righteous. Okay, these are the petitions that the angels make for the purpose. Now, what were their petitions require, or what would it make up these petitions? And that has to do with the tokens. Okay, the tokens of his visitations. Now, the tokens of his visitations, we'll talk more about that also. Okay, have to do with the gifts which he's provided for faith to be expressed. And we see this way back in the days of Noah. The visitations of God in the days of Noah, in the days of Enoch. The visitations of God in the days of Abraham. Okay, and these visitations establish a testimony for us, a testimony of faith. Okay, and God elected that which is of Abraham for the tokens of his visitations, and also for that which would take place in the genealogies that would be forthcoming to the birth of Christ. The gate of righteousness would be put within him. Okay, offering to the Lord. Okay, offering to the Lord a sweet smelling savor, a reasonable and bloodless offering. That goes way back to the Testament of Levi. A reasonable and bloodless offering. And that has to do with the expressions of your charity. Okay, and in heaven below this, okay, are the angels. And we'll talk more about that. We get to Hebrews chapter 2. The angels who bear answers to the angels of the presence of the Lord. So we can see a tethering taking place within the angelic realm, the angelic kingdom. Okay, it's a kingdom, this outer reach of our understanding, but yet we participate within it every day. Okay, it's an invisible kingdom. The ministering angels, ministering spirits, okay, and the different stations of these angels. Okay, whether it be angels and archangels, okay, archons and authorities, okay, dominions and powers and thrones, okay, all these different levels and stations of angels. Okay, they have been assigned these particular positions to, as a hand of the Lord, hand and arm of the Lord. Now, understanding, okay, these particular positions also assist us as heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. And regarding the activities which we will be performing, okay, as gods, okay, in the baptism of light, okay, establishing, these different stations for angels to carry out our desires and our petitions, okay, and regarding those things which we create in other dimensions, which requires billions and trillions of servants, of angels. And that is to service us in our throne, okay, in the house of the Lord. Okay, who bear answers to the angels of the presence of the Lord. Okay, and then heaven next to this are thrones and dominions, okay, in which always they offer praise to God. Okay, and offering praise to God, we'll be talking more about that. Okay, again, the reciprocation of this knowledge. We can testify these things, even in the book of Revelation. Let's get started. Okay, have your Bibles open, the book of Titus. And this is, we're going to start in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, we're going to see the Apostle Paul is building the understanding here for the saints here, which Titus is overseeing in his stewardship. And that's why he says, but speak you to things which become sound doctrine. Okay, so make sure you have your notepad ready, your highlighter and your pen, and highlight the word sound doctrine. Sound doctrine, which means everything that is necessary for this building and bonding in the house of God must be present. Now, sound doctrine has to do with everything is present there. Okay, in other words, your charity will result in the temperament and not lawlessness nor righteousness with sound doctrine. Okay, where sound doctrine is absent, then there's chaos. And with chaos also comes with it ambiguity. Ambiguity is a language that has a lot of loose ends to it. It produces questions rather than godly edifying, as the Apostle Paul brings out. Which minister questions? He uses the word minister questions, which ministers questions rather than godly edifying. Godly edifying again has to do with that there's no fruit bearing. There's no fruit bearing with the loose ends. It's like a rope that's frailing, coming loose. But speak of the things which become sound doctrine. And now here the Apostle Paul writing this for the purpose to avoid the Cretans. We read about that last week now. To avoid the Cretans' prophetic groups who could try to control through their psychophysy. And we read about that in chapter 1. He talks about there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped. That's psychophysy. Who subvert whole houses. We see that in chapter 2 of Revelation as concerning Jezebel. Their prophecy has to do with the depths of hell, depths of Satan, whose mouths must be stopped because all they're doing is prophesying the psychology of the soul, the psychology of the flesh, the psychology of man, earthly things. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses and assemblies, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. In other words, the avenue of their income has to do with psychophysy, speaking into the lives of people, making these so-called declarations, which we see in the false religious system today. And he brings that out as concerning the Grecians in verse 12. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Grecians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. They misrepresent God. Their sincerity and intention is trying to service the kingdom of God and bringing about or trying to resolve conflicts of the conscience. They're trying to resolve conflicts of the conscience, which is guilt, with psychophysy, prophesying into their lives, saying the Lord wants you to do this, the Lord wants you to do that, the Lord will bless you here, the Lord will do that to you. Instead of the priesthood, they replace the priesthood of our charity with psychophysy, which is false charity. It's called a lie. And that's why he says they're always liars. Now, when he says the word liars right there, it's not an evident falsehood or trying to hide truth. They're not trying to hide truth. They're trying to express their truth through psychophysy. So that's why Paul brings out sound doctrine. The sound doctrine is the pure crown of our faith. The pure crown of faith, which is Jesus Christ, sound doctrine. It possesses all the elements and wholesomeness. It's wholesome doctrine, sound doctrine. It possesses all the ingredients, just like a pie or a cake is an example. It possesses all the ingredients. If any of the ingredients is missing, whether it be a pinch of salt or a measure of sugar or the proper measure of your flour or the proper measure of time in the oven, the proper temperature, the timing, it will not come out in in the desired form which you put it in. So we see, but speak of things which become sound doctrine. Well, let's explore some of this here just for a moment. Let's go to the book of Exodus. As you see the example there of the priesthood there, dressed in proper form, having all the elements And now if any of those elements that are adorning the priest is missing, then, of course, he's fallen short of the glory of God, which means there's something that's missing there, fallen short of the glory of God. And, of course, the Apostle Paul brings the same thing out concerning the grace of God. People that don't mold with all the tokens, sound doctrine, okay, having all the ingredients present, will fall short of the glory of God. In other words, the cake or the pie will go flat or not taste correctly. It won't be a sweet-smelling savor. You leave it in the oven too long, it's going to burn. It's going to cause you to cough and your eyes to water. That's not exactly the fragrance that we're looking for. Okay, but now everybody should be there right now. Put a marker there in Titus, because we'll be coming back there shortly. Now in the book of Exodus right here, let's read some things here. We'll start around verse 36, from 36 to 38. All right, he says here, and you shall make a plate of pure gold. Okay, and that's in verse 36. Now in chapter 28, verse 36 of Exodus. You should make a plate of pure gold. Now you notice that everything which they're providing for the point of contact is earthy. But though it's earthly, it provides for us an understanding and an allegory for what Christ would do within us. Okay, as a king, you should make a plate of pure gold. Now Jesus is the King of Kings. Okay, being the King of Kings, he gives us knowledge, which gives us his perception. And by this perception, having the mind of Christ, we make him king or Lord of our life. He's Lord of our life through the perceptions which he provided for us through his gifts. Okay, and that which the anointing works within us, it molds within us this perception. Then by these things, we honor the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now you shall make a plate of pure gold. Now, why is he doing this as an allegory? Because for by my spirit, I will adopt you. By my spirit, I will adopt you. A plate of gold, a plate of pure gold. Pure gold, it goes through a process of preparation. Okay, through this process of preparation, it puts it in that state, whereas it will be moldable, okay, and still reflect that which is of its own purity. Okay, and that is what Christ does within us. Through the cycles of your growth, okay, he's molding us into that state of purity, a crown, through the gifts which he's providing for us. Now you shall make a plate of pure gold and grave upon it what? What are you going to grave upon it? You're going to write these words on it, holiness to the Lord. Okay, a token of offering, as your charity is a token of offering. The anointing prepares, okay, or makes the knowledge which is in you as pure gold, a plate of pure gold. Okay, like the gravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord, which means we belong to God by his name, holiness to the Lord. We belong to God. This knowledge belongs to God. The anointing builds with this knowledge. With this knowledge, we reciprocate. Through this form of reciprocation, we be joining ourselves to him. We belong to God. Okay? And this is a form of adoption. Okay? We are adopted to God through the form of reciprocation by the knowledge which we have received through the stewardship, okay, which ordains it. The stewardship which ordains it, prepares it. Okay, so we see a preparatory stage, an initiation stage, a consecration stage. You shall make, okay, and this is a form of consecration, preparation, initiation. Holiness to the Lord is a token. This token is to be worn on the head, okay, which gives us the mind of Christ and the crown of glory. The mind of Christ is your crown of glory. And with this, it also bears the scale of Christ, okay, which is holiness. Scale of Christ, which is holiness, our holiness towards him. Our holiness towards him is this charity. Okay, and so we know, as the Apostle Paul brings out in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunts not itself, is not puffed up. That means charity doesn't vaunt itself, which means it's not the expression of the aspiration. Vaunts not itself. It's not the expression of the aspiration. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunts not itself, is not puffed up, does not seek its own. Now, as I'm reading these things to you, speaking these things to you, keep this in mind, holiness to the Lord. We belong to God by his name. We belong to God by his name. Holiness to the Lord. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunts not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly. So everything that the Apostle Paul is writing there is a reflection, the tokens of that first covenant put within the priesthood, the ministering to the tokens of the altar, the altar of incense, and also the daily sacrifices, the morning sacrifices, the evening sacrifice. Okay, those things which are burning upon the altar, it shall not go out. The scripture bears that clearly. Okay, the flame of the altar shall not go out. And the flame of this anointing within you shall not go out, because you're continually attending to these things. As you're praying in the spirit, the flame of the altar will not go out. Okay, as you're continually praying in the spirit, praying in tongues, the fire of the altar shall not go out. They, the charity, shall continually bear that sweet-smelling savior of what he's doing within you. Nay, the circumcision of the heart through that which is the foundation of truth. The flame of the altar shall not go out. All right, and you shall put it on a blue lace. I like the word blue lace there, because we're bound to the Lord by the charity we receive and overcome by his truth through the stewardship, the blue lace, through the stewardship. Okay, the garments of the priesthood is a reflection of that which is the fruit of the vine, the grape. That which was accursed of God has now been blessed. But God has blessed, okay, call not thou unclean. Now remember, he said that to Peter, what God has blessed, call not that unclean. Okay, so Peter says, Lord, not at any time have I eaten anything that's common or unclean. Okay, and the Lord corrected his thinking. Okay, my spirit, the anointing now, takes that which was unclean and makes it clean. That which Satan planted, I'm using now for my glory. Okay, what Satan initiated in the transgression, God reversed by his own sacrifice. Okay, he reversed the curse, and he took that which was bitter in the transgression, and made it sweet by the anointing. And that's what he does also with our understanding. The false knowledge of this world, which is evil, God now makes sweet. Okay, by the fragrance of the anointing, a new knowledge which he's provided for us. And you shall put on a blue lace, and it may be upon the mitre, like a rolled turban or diadem. Upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. The reason why it's on the forefront of the mitre, because this is the holy knowledge. The holy knowledge is weighed and measured on the scale of the stewardship. And this is what the Apostle Paul brings out. Be you followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. Okay, you can see that the scale of discernment is put within the stewardship, which then he shares, okay, which the stewardship, male or female, okay, shares within the assembly. And that becomes your scale. Okay, and on this scale, okay, your words are weighed. Okay, and that's how we worship him in word and in truth. Your words are weighed upon that scale. Okay, and this is our Father's joy. Okay, our Father takes joy in this, because within this fragrance, he smells our labor. He smells our labor as a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. Our labor is now accepted of him, which before was not accepted of him. It should be upon Aaron's forehead. Look at that in verse 38. So I like the word Aaron's forehead. There's your priesthood. Okay, the blue lace upon Aaron's forehead, okay, which is also a crown of gold, pure gold, holiness to the Lord. I belong to God through the stewardship and the priesthood. And through the stewardship and the priesthood of this covenant, you belong to him. Okay, and this is what the Lord said. Okay, they shall be my people and I will be their God. Why? Because I'm writing within them this knowledge in their hearts and their minds. Okay, in their mind and in their heart. Okay, those things which you have received. See the mind. Okay, this is again the mitre upon the forehead. And in your heart. Okay, this has to do with the expression of charity restricts iniquity. The expression of your charity restricts iniquity. And by the study of this knowledge, you cut off sin in your life. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. Highlight the word holy gifts there in verse 38. And after you highlight the word holy gifts there, okay, draw a line from the word holy gifts to the word holiness to the Lord. See, holiness to the Lord. I belong to God by what? By your gifts. All right. And by these gifts, you're as holiness to the Lord. And there should be always upon his forehead, which means we're always thinking on these things. That's what Paul said in his epistle there. Think on these things in the book of Philippians. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report. If there be any virtue, keep that in mind, virtue. And if there be any praise, which has to do with the crown, think on these things. So you see here, it should be always upon your forehead. Think on these things. Okay, this is your perspective. Okay, God is molding a new perspective within you. Okay, when you were born in the flesh, and all of us were born in the flesh that are here today, all of us that were born in the flesh received our education of the flesh. Okay, the education of the flesh possessed no knowledge, okay, of faith. That's why it's called evil. Okay, it's called evil because it possesses no knowledge for faith. Because everything reverts to desires of self. A self-indulgence, whatever is reversed to self also bears the weight of guilt. And sinners, the scale of the sinner in the conscience is guilt. So everything is weighed to guilt. And that's what they're trying to resolve. They're using the knowledge of this world to try to resolve the imbalances of guilt. Okay. Well, there's no resolving of guilt because it's tethered to Satan's conscience. It's tethered to him. The thoughts of the sinner is tethered to the mindset of Satan. The mindset of the righteous is tethered to Christ. We have the mind of Christ by this anointing, by this divine tether. Okay, we have the mind of Christ. The patriarchs of old had the mind of Christ by the tether of these gifts. And by the tethers of these gifts, they overcame, okay, great contradictions, okay, which they faced. Which had to do with the false knowledge of this world. So it should be upon Aaron's forehead. Make sure you highlight the word Aaron's forehead there. So the righteous put on the crown of truth, okay, as a function within their priesthood. And that's what the Apostle Paul said concerning the armor. Okay, the armor of the righteous is the vestments of the priesthood. Okay, putting on what? The helmet of salvation. Taking up what? The sword of truth there and the shield of faith and have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. So you see that the armor of the righteous, it has to do with the vestments of your priesthood, which gives us the tokens, these gifts here, the holy gifts, okay, so that you can walk and please God. Those which bear these things are on the prophetic path, which is the straight path. The narrow path leads to the straight gate. All right, let's go on here. So it should be upon Aaron's forehead and Aaron, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things. Bear the iniquity, which means learning a new perspective. He bears a responsibility to remove the offense of Israel against God. He's the token that removes the offense. Jesus Christ is a token that removed the offense, and that's why we have faith in him. So the children of Israel brought their gifts to Aaron, or the Levites, and the priests would offer these gifts upon the altar to remove the offense. So that what did they do? They bore the iniquity. He bore the iniquity. Now, Aaron did not become sin, okay, but his activity removed the offense of sin. Jesus Christ is a propitiation for us. He removed the offense of sin by himself, become a token for us. Jesus is the mediator of this new covenant. Being the mediator of the new covenant, he is the token of our sanctification. Okay, the token of sanctification now breathes the life of God within us, which is holiness to the Lord. And that's why Jesus breathed on his apostles. Okay, receive you the Spirit. He breathed on them. Okay, Jesus also breathes the breath of life within us by this anointing, and the language which we speak is a witness of that. Every gift he provides is evidence, proof, okay, proof of that which is a higher power, okay, that Jesus indeed is risen from the dead. Proof. We have proof of that, okay, through your cycles of growth, perceptions of life, okay, and by his visitations. We'll be talking more about that also. So highlight the word holy gifts there. And this shall be always upon his forehead. This is the perspective we have daily. We daily have the perspective of Christ. Okay, so if we be dead with him, we also shall reign with him. Okay, if we be dead with him shows has to do with the abandonment of the earthly things, the perceptions and the boasts of this world, which has to do with the imagination, the aspiration and the principle. If we labor with earthly things, we labor with Satan's perspective. If we labor with heavenly things, we labor with Jesus's perspective. And we're laboring with the heavenly things by the offerings of this knowledge, the offerings of this truth, sound doctrine, that they may be accepted before the Lord. Now, how did the word accepted there? This is for remission and refuge. Okay, now let's read some more about a crown of glory, and let's turn to 1 Peter. Okay, we're going to turn to 1 Peter now. Okay, so we'll go over to the New Testament. And the apostles built understanding for us by the allegories of that first covenant. I'll say that again. The apostles built our understanding on the allegories of that first covenant. And he goes on here. Now, we're in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. He talks about the crown of glory. Now, Aaron, the high priest, received tokens, okay, which were taken from the soil, melded down, put together as an allegory to what Christ would do for us through the stewardship and the priesthood, which he would ordain and sanctify by the Holy Ghost. The chief shepherd, he calls him. Now, when a chief shepherd shall appear, hide the word appear there. Come and see the diligence of your faith. When the angel of the Lord makes his presence known, whether you be asleep or awake, when it makes this present known and sees faith in your heart, then you receive a token gift. And that token gift has to do with the mastery of the knowledge. The mastery of the knowledge comes through the hands of the anointing. The hands of the anointing molds the understanding within you by which you express with your lips. If you believe in your heart, Jesus Christ, then you and confess with your lips, Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. You shall be saved. So you see, that which is laid within the heart is confessed within the lips. The cycle is completed. The reciprocation now received the nod of his sanctification. The nod of his sanctification. So when the chief shepherd shall appear, you receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Now Aaron's glory faded away and had to be renewed, okay, constantly updated. It had to be constantly updated with the hands of flesh. But here we can see the Spirit of the Lord is continually updating us, but the updating does not suffer loss. It's continually increasing. Okay, it's continually increasing as you go from little children, young men, and fathers. Okay, your understanding is progressing. The rewards are being stored up in heaven for you. Okay, it's in the vaults of your throne, gaining entrance. Okay, but here we carry the testimony of it, or we say a bank statement. Okay, you have a bank statement you can carry with you. Okay, that shows concerning your deposits or your withdrawals. Continually update you is concerning this is how much you now have in the bank, whether it be increase or loss. Okay, well, you carry that bank statement within your own heart, okay, concerning suffering or loss. Okay, now that which has to do with loss has to do with the circumcision, okay, of previous knowledge of this world. The increase has to do with that which is your gaining through that which Christ is inscribing within you, okay, which has to do with the token of your adoption. But this is a covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. See the two things there. Put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. Now, by this form of exchange, I will call them I will be their God and they shall be my people, saith the Lord. Okay, because that which is that first covenant is fading away. That means the condemnation of the law is faded because your justification now is in Jesus Christ. You're not justified by a law, you're condemned by the law. Okay, so that which is of the law is fading away. The impressions and influences, okay, of that first covenant, which charged us with folly and also judged us as unclean, okay, is being removed by the circumcision of Christ. And being removed, we gain a new testimony, okay, as sons and daughters of God. So when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. See the word crown of glory there. Okay, it's a substance. See, these are the power gifts. These are the gifts of powers. Okay, even things of the world to come. Okay, everything that he's provided for us will remain with us now and also through the ninth Enochian week and through the 10th Enochian week. Okay, which has to do with the baptism of light. Okay, that which he is now inscribing within you for your experience and growth is a necessity for the positions that you will be taking as kings and priests during the millennial reign of Christ, and that which also will be forthcoming in the 10th week, as we're assigned the thrones of our Father's bosom, called the mansions of heaven, okay, and as pillars of fire within these thrones, which has to do with the inexhaustible and unfathomable powers which our Father engrafts within us, equal to himself, to carry on those traditions, the traditions of our Father in other dimensions, filling every cavern of our Father, of our Father's soul, with possessions. Okay, that's what he's doing within us right now in a preparatory stage of that, which is going to be initiated later on. Okay, later on. If you can be entrusted with these little things, how much more with the true riches? Remember, Jesus brought that out. If I can entrust you with this, just being obedient to this, these small things, how much more than the reality, okay, of the true riches of our Father's kingdom? Well, let's jump over to the book of James here for a minute. That's in James chapter 1. So we see the crown of glory, and this crown of glory is also our crown of life in the book of James. So let's go over to the book of James here. And this is in James chapter 1, Apostle James chapter 1, this crown of life. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. Now we're just talking about that. Okay, and I'm in verse 12, if you want to make a notation on that. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. Cite the word temptation is as to the challenges of choice. The challenges of choice. Am I going to labor with guilt or am I going to labor with the anointing? Now, guilt is built upon the past. Okay, the roots of your past are being removed through the circumcision of Christ and your cycles of growth. Okay, so when you're faced with these challenges, okay, which has to do with your daily challenges and contradictions, because we live in the dimension of darkness, the lowest of the heavens and the darkest of the heavens. We read about that today in the Testament of Levi, okay, being concerning the lowest of the heavens and darkness of the heavens, because for this cause, everything is gloomy. Okay, the atmosphere is gloomy based upon the sins of man. Okay, but we don't choose a tethering of Satan's kingdom, which is a perspective of guilt in that scale. And why do you want to weigh, okay, your efforts on the scale of guilt? Okay, if you weigh in the scale of guilt, you're always going to be condemning yourself, always repenting. But our repentance is sealed and sure through that, which is the anointing, which has to do with the eternal moment. We labor with the eternal moment. When you labor with Christ, you're laboring in the things that are of eternal nature, okay, that which is the divine presence. Blessed is the man, which means a reward. God should reward this person, okay, because the word blessed right there has to do with an increase that benefits you, doesn't it? It's an increase that benefits you. This is God's joy that he sees us through. We rejoice in these things. As Paul brings out, rejoice in the Lord all, and again I say rejoice. Okay, the choices that we make, okay, we choose this day life. This is what Joshua said. Choose you this day whom you serve, whether the Lord or you're going to serve Baal. Choose you this day whom you serve. Elijah also said, choose the revelation which you just witnessed. Choose the anointing which you just saw, nay, the fire of God. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he has tried, he should receive a crown of life. See the word crown of life right there. Here we're talking more about that. See, the crown of glory, crown of life. When we talk about crown, we're talking about that which has to do with the coronation. You could be sitting on a throne here. You are being prepared to receive a particular position. You're going through the due process, okay, a preparatory stage. You're in a preparatory stage for this coronation. You could be sitting on a throne here. So blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he has tried to receive the crown of life. Okay, that's what the anointing does. Okay, it gives you a token, an empowerment, a token of empowerment. Okay, the tokens of this world are that which detracts from the soul. It causes the soul to shrink. The tokens of God enlarges the heart. It is the very opposite. Okay, the tokens of God are succulent. It's like the juice of a grape is succulent. Okay, but when it's removed from the vine, it goes through the process of death, which means it loses the moisture within it, turns into a raisin. Okay, so the tokens of Satan's kingdom, okay, removes the succulent life of the soul. Okay, and it turns it into a form of death. Okay, a form of death. Okay, that's the tethering of the kingdom of darkness. Okay, that's the mindset of Satan's kingdom. Envy and strife, debate, deceit, sedition, treachery, murder. Okay, Everything that is self-centered, okay, self-indulgence is self-centered. It detracts from the soul. Murder, it detracts from the soul. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. When he is tried, he receives the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. That is who worship him by the tools. And by these tools, we are actually standing in the current of his power. We're standing in the current of his power. And the Spirit of the Lord, the anointing, can manifest that in an actual physical form, standing within the current of his power. Okay, now jumping from here, okay, we'll go back to Titus here for a second. And then we'll go over to Hebrews. So in the back in the book of Titus here, we're talking about the pure crown of your faith. Okay, we read about that, okay, which is put in the allegories there in Exodus chapter 28. Then we see the reality of it established in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Okay, and then he goes on right here, it's concerning sound doctrine. So hide the word sound doctrine in verse 1, but also go all the way down to verse 8 and highlight the word sound speech. Your charity is sound speech because it possesses all the elements of this expression, which is Jesus Christ. That is Christ. Christ is heard and seen within this activity, which is your deed. So we worship him not in word only, but in also in deed and in truth. Indeed and in truth. Indeed, which has to do with the force of your priesthood. And truth is that foundation of your expression. So we're loving God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. Okay, and on this scale, all the prophets spoke, and all the prophets understood. Okay, the scale of the anointing bears that perfect equity of loving God with your thought of study, with all your heart, okay, which has to do with the your faith, with all your heart, with all your soul. The will to serve, with all your mind, the study of doctrine, all your strength, the proper sacrifices. This is how we bond with God and our neighbor, our brother. So here in back in chapter 2, okay, we can see we talk about sound doctrine and that foundation we laid in our heart. This is to build this house. And we're going to read about the bonding powers of these ministering spirits. Now, what's interesting, and this is an old adage, okay, if you want to know a man, you must know his passions. Okay, that's an old adage. Okay, this is good marital advice. If you want to know a man, you got to know his passion. If you want to know God, you got to know his tokens. Okay, if you want to know God, you have to know his tokens. What is God interested in? Well, he's interested in what? He's interested in the seal of your salvation because he made great provisions for this from the foundation of the world to this present time, to the completion of the age, and into eternity. So if you want to know a man, you got to know his passion. If you want to know God, you got to know his tokens. What is God interested in? His tokens of interest is in the adoption, which he's provided for us. Now, turn your Bibles now over to Hebrews chapter 2. Okay, let's read some things there to get your sacrifices ready. The process of your crown of life and for the eternal substance here is that which the ministering angels provides. Now, you see this in chapter 1. Before you start chapter 2, let's just proceed first with the understanding of the ministering angels. Are they not the ministering spirits? Verse 14. This is chapter 1, verse 14. And we'll read chapter 1, verse 14. And then, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Okay, for what? These are the ministering angels. The ministering angels tether us to the throne of God through the different stations of the angels. Okay, we talked about that, angels and archangels and archons and authorities. Okay, and also we talked about these concerning dominions and principalities and these powers and thrones. Okay, all the way up from the lowest of the heavens to the highest of the heavens, these ministering spirits. You can see ministering spirits in the forms of orbs. Okay, we call them they call them ministering spirits. We also call them starbursts. A starburst where you see the Lord gives you discerning of spirits, okay, whereas you're able to see in the spirit world, okay, at that point a starburst, okay, or a long white wisp, okay, of an angel, okay, or a bright flash. The angels manifest themselves, okay, where it would be in lightnings or in thunders or great earthquakes, okay. That's what you read there, okay, the powers of heaven. Okay. And he says, I saw a throne. And the chief elder John says, I saw a throne and he that sat upon the throne. And as he sat upon the throne, he saw all this activity of all these different ministering spirits and these ministering angels. Okay. The great archons and also the eight great princes, the great Yahwehs of God. Okay. Those are the cherubim, the Ophanim and the seraphim, and the wheels of the chariot. All the activity of the angels, okay, in the providences and stations in the presence of God. Okay, and he fills all things. Okay, and here we see the ministering spirits active in our life. From the highest of the heavens to the lowest of the heavens, a form of communication is continually unfolded towards us by the spirit which he's provided for us, which he breathed within us, and the language which we speak, which is outside of this world. Okay, the language which we speak being outside this world is strange to the uncircumcised ears, but yet is the life which the righteous listen to. The righteous delight in the things of the righteousness. Okay, the wicked delight in the things of the ungodly, but we delight in the things which have to do with fruit bearing. Therefore, he said, are they not all ministering spirits? Send forth the minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation. We are the heirs now. That is by the anointing. The anointing has these enablements. All these are enablements to supply us, okay, with means of opportunity. Enablements. The angels provide these gifts of enablements. See, it enables you. Okay, it makes a provision for you. The same thing with your money. Okay, your money is an enablement of purchase. And these tokens of gifts are enablement of relationship. It's supplying us a means of opportunity to know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. Okay, the death again has to do with these enablements are removing us, okay, from the perspectives of death, okay, and recreating us into the image of Christ, making us new creatures. Okay, now, so we don't want to be spiritually sloppy, weak, okay, or lazy. Okay, but rather to take heed in the understanding of the divine tethering. Are they not all ministering spirits? Therefore, highlight the word therefore there. Highlight the word therefore, draw a line from the word therefore to the word they there in verse 14 of chapter 1. Therefore in verse 1, chapter 2. We ought to give the more earnest heed to things which we have heard. Okay, to think we testify to things which we have seen and heard, that which the ministering spirits provide for us. Okay, the knowledge which you're receiving through stewardship is the activity of the altar of our own priesthood. Okay, and through this, the altar of our priesthood, we have that personal relationship with God, whereas he communicates to us as children of God, sons and daughters of the Most High. Okay, these tokens are tokens of our adoption. These tokens are also tokens of our inheritance, which makes us heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Okay, therefore, we have to give the more earnest heed to things which we have heard, lest any time we should let them slip away, the break off or the fall away, the grow weak. It grows weak through neglect. If you neglect your prayer life, okay, you're also neglecting the activity of this relationship. Why do you want to neglect the activity of this relationship? Okay, we just this last Saturday, we had the International Prayer Assembly. Okay, in the International Prayer Assembly, your prayers were ascending before God. Okay, as your prayers ascended before God, before our Father, there was a bonding and a unity that was being formed, like weaving a basket. Okay, weaving a basket, you take many different strands to put together. The strands could be blue and purple, okay, in order to put a design within that basket. And God's putting a design within your heart through the volunteerism of your activity. Okay, you're willingly working with him. Okay, if the word spoken by angels, see the word spoken by angels was steadfast, this is throughout biblical history, and we're living biblical history now. Throughout biblical history, we see the ministering angels. It would be impossible through the book of Genesis without seeing the activity of angels. Physical manifestations, okay, as well as also voices of the Lord. Okay, we see that in Genesis, we see it in Exodus, you see it in Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Okay, you see it throughout the book of Judges, angels taking on different forms, taking on forms of people, taking on forms of flames, taking on forms of pillars of vapor or cloud, taking on the forms of sound, they whether it be sounds of the sky, ministering angels, and they're here. They accompany us. Many angels accompany are in our presence even right now. Many angels in our presence right now. Okay, and they are also listening and observing concerning the choices that you're making and are influencing the construction of your charity. They're influencing the construction of your charity because you're building on the foundation of truth, understanding these elements, grace, faith, righteousness, and a seal, sanctification and holiness and righteousness and justification and charity and truth, your peace and your rest. All these things are active. These are all ingredients, okay, in the food that we eat. As Jesus says, my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. You eat of me. Okay, you eat of me. I am that bread of life. Okay, you're eating of me. Okay, well, let's go on here. If the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression, now the transgression has to do with that which walking outside of. Okay, you're walking outside of or adding to. Okay, when you walk outside of these, okay, the parameters of the covenant, okay, you're transgressing against God. That's an offense. The false religious system, okay, is transgressing against the Lord. Now we see also in the book of Enoch, how in 3rd Enoch, it's made known as concerning all Israel transgressed 36 times against God, 36 times over. Okay, every word of the letter, they transgressed the Torah. Okay, every letter of the Torah, they transgressed 36 times over, which had to do with every judgment which is being set against them. Okay, it is because of the transgression, adding to or taking away from the power. Okay, adding to or taking away from that power of his grace. Okay, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression of disobedience, we see the just recompense and reward 36 times over for each letter of the Torah. How should we escape if we neglect? See the word neglect there in verse 3. That if we allow our understanding to grow dim. Why do you want your understanding to grow dim? It doesn't make sense. Okay, knowing that the rapture is very close at hand. Okay, and the things which God is about to do. You don't want to neglect these things. Okay, this is a time when your hands will grow strong. I mean, this is the time you're running the race. It's not time to take a break. We're running, you're right in the middle of a race. Okay, so how should we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Okay, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, that is throughout the patriarchs in the very beginning and also within the Father's bosom, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him in the bosom and in this dimension also. We are affirming these things. The conscience bears the seed which your Father planted within us to testify these things upon the hearing of this knowledge in this dimension. If I had not come, they had not sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin because I have awakened their conscience by the things which I promised my Father's bosom at this present time. If I had not come, they had not sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin. What was their cloak for their sin? Okay, the cloak for their sin was that which is of the law. They use the law as a standard of their righteousness. Okay, concerning righteousness, as Paul brings out in Philippians 3, concerning righteousness, okay, he says, which had to do with that which is that first covenant, okay, the law. Okay, but he counted them all dung, which he saw the value of it was really as dung. Okay, it possessed no value as things that we would honor or particularly put in a showcase of our house. So how should we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We had to first begin to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness. We talked about the evidence and the witness. The evidence and witness a couple weeks ago. Okay, God, because God was granting many experiences by dreams and by visions and by visitations to confirm these things which he's promised in the Abrahamic blessing. That's why we're called the children of Abraham. We have the Abrahamic blessing of faith. The Abrahamic blessing of faith has to do with a invisible circumcision. Invisible circumcision which is joined to a covenant. Now, Abraham received a physical circumcision which was joined to a covenant. Okay, a covenant of promise. A covenant of promise. Your seed shall sit in the gate of his enemies. And that gate has to do with also the baptism of light. And the enemy has to do with anything that's less than that light. Anything that's less than light, okay, is called an enemy of righteousness. Okay, and we also, being the sons of Abraham by adoption in Jesus Christ, are sons of righteousness.
and we shall reign as sons of righteousness, okay, as heirs of God and joiners of Christ. Okay, well, all right, now let's jump over to Titus here for a moment. Let's get ready to close there. Paul brings out sound doctrine. The sound doctrine is the pure crown of our faith. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. Okay, sound speech cannot be condemned because it's based on the foundation of truth. Your charity cannot be condemned. Your charity cannot be condemned because it's not subject to law, nor is it subject to that which is earthy, earthbound, or temporal things. Okay, if it's earthbound and tethered to temporal things, then you'd be carnal-minded. But it's heavenly bound. It's tethered to the throne of God. Okay, it's born of his light. And it carries a testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay, therefore, as he goes on right here, sound speech cannot be condemned. That he is a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Okay, in other words, our lifestyle continually reflects the cycles of your growth. Okay, the cycles of your growth identify the mark of this baptism, the mark of his knowledge, which he's provided for us, a baptism of knowledge. By this, he's cleansing us. Our adoption is sealed, and we are prepared as vessels of glory.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.